Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. But even if it wasn't, I'd still be doing great, I just want to say. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about Discovery Day, which is celebrated in various ways around the planet. And today is Canadian Discovery Day, a time to acknowledge achievements in the area of exploration. Kriya Yoga is a science for inner travel and self-realization. In this show, we will be exploring the similarities between outer travel, outer space travel, and inner travel. Everything in life has a procedure. To understand one thing gives us insight in understanding everything. The small and simple explain the large and complex. So, Swami, I have a couple of questions for you. The first question is, let's talk about discovery. How did you discover Institute for Personal Development?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really think that Institute for Personal Development was founded on two discoveries that I did make in my early exploration years of seeking truth and wisdom and enlightenment and all of that. But one of the things that I discovered, that there is this innate drive in all of us that we want to be a whole person. We want to be complete. And then the other discovery that came shortly after that was that completion can't happen in the physical world. That in order for us to actualize this experience of wholeness, that we had to transform, which actually breaks down into two words, trans, go through form. Mm-hmm. This whole concept that we have to separate from particles and waves before we can connect to this indivisible unified field. And so that was possibly the foundation of what Institute for Personal Development is really all about. Those two discoveries that I made. And then, of course, having had enough experience with Kriya Yoga that it was actually a complete holistic health management system, there was really no sense reinventing the wheel. And so just plugging myself into the eight essential stages of yoga as giving methodology to this idea or this concept. Mm-hmm. And that's another big theme that we have here as we go from knowing to doing.
So my next question would be, let's talk about your own self-discovery and what was that like? How did you go about doing it?
Well, I think I've always been kind of a serious seeker, that I really think that my approach to yoga has always been fueled by my spirit of adventure, kind of a thing, that I've always really wanted to unlock all these things that you read about, all this hidden potential, all these possibilities. And my actual path, I guess I was raised a Christian. I had a pretty broad understanding of Christianity. My mother was Catholic, my father was Protestant. And I really don't think I understood Christianity at all, because when we were in high school and we started reading the American Transcendentalists, Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Bronson Alcott, those readings piqued some curiosity in me, and shortly after that, I started to study Buddhism. And I really delved into the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, the 12 Interdependent Origins of Buddhism. And I really think that studying Buddhism gave me a better understanding of Christianity. But to be perfectly honest with you, it wasn't until I started to practice yoga. And when I say yoga, I mean the eight essential stages of yoga. Once I discovered that yoga was much more than just physical exercises, but the thing that I found was that they were still working with the physical body. The whole thing of going from knowing to doing, kind of a thing. The physics of spirituality really started to kick in for me. And it was after many years of practicing yoga that all of a sudden I realized that Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, the Muslim religion, that they're all really saying the same thing. This was just instruction to do something. And I really didn't get my point of what I call my epiphany till after about 20 years of practicing yoga. And it was really interesting because it was really by accident that it happened that when I opened the ashram in Hampton in 1994, I was rereading Spiritual Science of Kriya Yoga and going over the first niyama purification, and I thought I really should experiment with this because nobody really seemed to emphasize it at all. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, purification, I had given up sugar, I don't know how long ago, but I ate all the health junk food. And when you're eating honey and maple syrup and agave nectar and you're eating all of these sugar substitutes, that whether you realize it or not, they're producing a craving for themselves. You're still ingesting a simple carbohydrate that is absorbed almost immediately into your blood, and now all of a sudden it's like the body has an attachment to it. And so I gave up all the simple carbs, and then it was about, I don't know, you notice it almost immediately that you are addicted to these foods, that you are looking for food to reward yourself, basically. And so it takes about a month for those cravings to go away, and after a while, real food is satisfying. But it was approximately about 9 months after I had given them all up, I remember I was doing my breathing exercise in the morning, and I took a breath, and it went in. It's the only way I can describe it, that it's like being in a dark room, and all of a sudden, they put the lights on. It was that different, that I took a breath, and I, when I say it went in, it was all of a sudden my body received the breath as a new symbol for validation. And it was at that point that I recognized that it was like, oh my God, this is what they're talking about. Put God first. Use what you need as a symbol for validation. And of course, if I didn't purify my body with the physics of spirituality, you can't get that in. But when that happened, matter and mind then came together with new information, and everything changes. And so that was, you know, a real stronghold in our approach to yoga and how we structure everything we do at Institute of Personal Development.
So it seems to me that a person would have to have this, I guess, desire, for lack of a better word, to want to become whole. Like, they had to have this realization that there's something more than just this physical body. And I believe everybody on the planet realizes this at some level, but it's when it gets into our conscious level that we realize that there's something that we have to do, and therefore then we have to have our path of action and then the path of knowledge. So it sounds like you actually did all of those things before you came to the self-realization.
Well, to answer your question, I have been a diligent seeker for some time, like I said, since high school. And the thing that I did find is that there is a lot of information out there that is what I call now cliche. There's a lot of stuff that's out there that just won't get you the return that you're really looking for. And then to come back to you, I mean, it's like we all want to be whole. And whether we realize it or not, that there is this conflict that goes on between a consciousness that is bound up in the physical body and one that is longing to be liberated and expand in a positive direction. And for those of us that have not initiated this progressive cycle, we're dealing with an inner environment that is inundated with feelings of guilt, shame, anger, resentment, blame, emptiness, and boredom. And of course, we go to our support groups or our therapist and we try and siphon off what's going on. And at best, it may offer you relief, but it doesn't offer you solution. It's not until you initiate this progressive cycle do you actually find solution to what's really going on in your inner environment, because those symptoms are a kickback from an unlived latent potential that you want to grow in a positive direction. You want to leave what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known. You want to separate from your infantile defense mechanisms. And when you don't, then, of course, now you're dealing with the retribution.
Is that why when people get what they want, you know, say they want to be successful and their idea of success is to have a Swiss bank account with all this money in there, and then they get that, and then they're still unhappy? Is this why? Because it doesn't really fulfill what it is that they're, what their actual potential really is?
Well, to answer your question, yes, that's exactly what it is. But the reason for it is that you are actually drawing from a resource of energy that is limiting. Mathematically, one of the things that we say, if the goal of life was to go from point A to point B, and you could make as many moves as you want, but you could only go one half the distance with each move, you become rapidly close, infinitely close, and then frustrated as all get out because you're never going to reach point B. You're never going to find a number you can't multiply by 0.5. And that's the problem when we're using duality, when we're using a resource of energy that is limited to validate ourselves. It deteriorates into the nature of greed. But when you make this conversion, when all of a sudden you separate from your attachment to these limiting resources, particles and waves, and you join with this concept of truth and wholeness, then now you get a different return on your effort. And of course, you know, the whole discovery of that when you do that, to me, is just The term was called enthusiasm. Now all of a sudden, your whole life, now you're in tandem with something that's pure, powerful, and sacred, and it's never going to let you down.
So then it basically just comes down to, again, is what energy field am I drawing from? And what you said earlier, your symbol for validation. So again, I know we've said this in many other shows, if we put God first in everything that we think, say, feel, and do, then that catapults us into this self-discovery.
Yeah, and then of course, like, you know, like we said in the opening, that this concept of inner travel and outer space travel or outer travel are very similar in that they are all going to require procedure and this concept of a vehicle. And that it doesn't happen by itself. That was a big thing that the alchemists believed, that this concept of God wasn't perfect. And that God's creation nature wasn't perfect. And of course, perfect, the origins of that word is purna, meaning whole. And that God depended upon the human to help make nature, God's creation, perfect. And so the human is not some lowly worm of a creature that's seeking redemption, but we're an intricate part in this evolution of consciousness. But as the alchemists had proven, that if we just live instinctually, by thinking, feeling, eating, sleeping, fornicating, we survive, but we do not grow. That in order to grow, there had to be some tampering. Just like to get into outer space, you know, you think about, you go down to Kennedy Space Center and you see what it entails to be able to get yourself into outer space. Mm-hmm. You know, this concept of a three-stage rocket. And then, of course, you talk about inner travel. Well, it's very similar because you have to overcome forces and energy fields that are going to require a vehicle that has enough power to get out of the influence of these force fields and energy systems. Just like a rocket ship has to overcome gravity and then has to get through the atmosphere. So a human being that wants to grow psychologically and spiritually has to separate their conscious mind from the forces of the body and the influences of the mind and attach it to something that's invisible and intangible. And you're going to require a vehicle. There has to be a system that you use to do that.
All right, we're going to get back to that, but let's pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we will be with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Well, welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. And we are actually talking about self-discovery. So I know we have some callers out there, and I just wanted to open it up to see if any of our callers may have any questions for Swami at this time. Okay, Swami, well, I have a question for you as well. You were talking about inner space, inner travel, outer space travel, and so on. Now, I was reading in that book, Initiation, by Elizabeth Hayek, and in the story, she talks about, in her lessons, that they have to refine the physical body to be able to hold that spirit because it is so intense and powerful. And if the body wasn't prepared, it could have damage to the nervous system. Is this what you're talking about when you're saying that you need the body as the vehicle?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's why working with the physical body is so important. That was again why I found Christianity and Buddhism and some levels to be somewhat lacking, is because it was all academic and intellectual, whereas the yoga, they were still working with the physical body. The body is the temple. And all of these physical exercises that we do, all of the dietary recommendations that we enlist, all of these strategies we employ are really designed to refine the physical body, that the shape, the composition, the condition of the body, how the segments of the body line up, the range of motion we have at the articulations. These are all important variables, because what you're basically trying to do is you're trying to attune yourself to a different vibration. And it's the like attracts like. And if we do not refine our bodies and we do not purge it of the pattern it comes in with, then of course the physics is you can't get this in. And that's one of the things that I think is very different about what we do, is we're not just, you know, let's do exercise and then cloak it with a lot of false claims and exaggerated promises, and maybe even drape it with Sanskrit terms to make it even more ambiguous. What we do is we really plug people into the physics of spirituality, that this isn't magic, that what you're basically doing is you are becoming something different, but there is an evidence procedure to it. And that's what makes it way more scientific than obscure.
I was just thinking about all the people that go to the gym, and maybe initially or consciously they think that they're trying to get their bodies to be, you know, healthier and that type of thing. But maybe there's that deep-seated unconscious part of themselves that know that they have to try to refine their bodies. But now I'm going to go back to what you always say, and that is we have to change how we think about going to the gym. You know, the outcome is not how my body looks. The outcome that I'm looking for is that it has to be strong enough to be able to hold this vibration. So therefore, we have to even change how we think about something just as simple as going to the gym. Because it's really not for fitness, it's for preparation.
Well, yeah, to answer your question, I mean, you look at such a huge portion of the yoga community today, and it's all about the body. It's all about looking younger, living longer, being more desirable. Then the body becomes part of the problem, because you don't get the yoga part. And as C.S. Lewis had said in one of his works, if you are driving somewhere and you miss your turn, if you continue to go in the direction that you're going, it may not be getting closer to your destination, which is oftentimes the problem. You're going further away from where you really want to go. And so some of the misconceptions in the yoga community is that if you just practice, it will get you there. But when you analyze the Yoga Sutras and you understand the first Yoga Sutra, which is all about constant practice of detachment and constant control of the thought variations, it's almost impossible to do if you do not understand your fifth yama, brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman. Because that's where Patanjali's told us that we had to get connected to this other energy field. Mm-hmm. That it's this other energy field that makes all of these things that we talk about possible. And of course, you can practice till you're purple, but if you don't get this life force into your body, if you don't get this other source of sustenance into the body, then, of course, none of the changes take place. It's the single most important thing that you can do.
I want to talk about our path of knowledge, and I just wanted to express how much I am enjoying the celestial positioning system that's now on the website on ipdtransform.com. And I have found it actually quite useful. So what I do at night is I'll read the passage for the next day, and then from there I can kind of give myself or put myself in a different sense of awareness as to what's going on. And so for listeners who don't know what this is about, you have to become a VIP member in order to access this information. Now, is there anything that you want to tell our listeners about this celestial positioning system other than what I have said and how I'm using it?
Well, I think the simple fact that you are using it is exactly what it's there for. That if you do not have this path of knowledge, if you are not cultivating your sense of awareness, then there is a big aspect of your yoga practice that is missing. But again, to understand just the concept of what surrounds us is within us, as above, so below, that I have always found that the insights that you can get from the movement of the celestial bodies can be really helpful to give you insight into a biosphere of energy that's available to you at a given time. And again, if your practice is all about attuning yourself, then you have the equipment that you can actually shape your inner state to use the energy that's available to you at a given time. So it's really, I think it's a helpful tool, and one of the reasons why we started to make that available was we have more and more students that are actually interested in, like what you said, my path of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, keeping track of your life, keeping a journal, because some of the things like we had mentioned in last week was some of these transits are on longer cycles. Say, for example, a solar eclipse is on a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle. And the oldest ink is better than the best memory. Mm-hmm. So if you can go back to the day when that eclipse happened, or 2 days or 3 days before or whatever, and you can start to connect the dots, it really kind of makes it a lot easier to start to see how you're creating your reality. When you have these points of reference that you can cross-examine your life and the way it's unfolding.
That will be my next part that I'll have to do, is start that journaling, and I'm probably am going to start it sometime in the very near future. That's so funny. But I wanted to talk about what your suggestions for today was. And so for Monday, you had written that moon is sextile Saturn, good day to build something, make yourself a healthy meal. Now, of course, I mean, I'm sure Jack, in building anything, today's a good day to build something, but how are you going to take those words for yourself today?
Well, to answer your question, I really don't know. I am always doing something. And what I try and do is I usually find that a sextile oftentimes gives you a little lift in a project that you might be in the midst of. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you start to see that might be a little bit more advancement in this concept or this idea that I'm working on, if that helps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. I was just curious to know how you were going to apply that in your... Well, thank you for answering that. I think we need to start closing down our program today. So, listeners, be sure you visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, of course. And don't forget, we also have the online classes that you can access through our new website, and it's absolutely beautiful. You should take a look through it. And also on the website, you can opt to become a VIP member. It's very, very reasonable. I'm actually enjoying the experience myself. But keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to be discussing our own uniqueness and Kriya Yoga. So any final thoughts, Swami, about our show today or about what we're going to talk about next week?
Yeah, next week we'll be talking about creating uniqueness and how to use your Kriya Yoga or union with the divine to make that happen for yourself. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste. Back to you.
And thank you again for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.